NIAs, but they're long, complex documents, and it could really get lost. It's time-consuming, expensive, litigious. And one of the shortfalls at EIAs is they only look at projects. It doesn't look at policies. And I said, as I mentioned before, sometimes the policies are the...
And from the Phoenix Children's Hospital, Judy Harris, Sally Moffitt, Yolanda Martinez, Heather Walton, and Bernice Ruiz. There are three partners in this project: the Phoenix Children's Hospital, the City of Phoenix Neighborhood Services Department, and the National Center for Healthy Housing, where we just helped design the study and then analyze the data as it came in. The objective of the study was to assess the effectiveness of interventions in reducing respiratory health and injury hazards. There were three components to the interventions that we conducted. There was an education component, there was device disbursement for respiratory health and injury prevention, and there were housing interventions specifically for structural repair and maintenance issues. The Phoenix Children's Hospital is where most of the work was done. And a couple things about Phoenix Children's Hospital that are important is they operate a breath mobile, that's a mobile asthma clinic that visits Phoenix schools that provides asthma assessment, education, and treatment. And of course, like any children's hospital, they treat asthmatic children and they treat children with injuries. So for enrollment in the study, a family had to have had at least one child under the age of 18. The household's income could be no more than 80% of the area median. Homes were enrolled from October 2003 to November 2005. And referrals for the study were received from a number of sources: asthmatic children from the Breathmobile, children from the City of Phoenix Head Start program, where mostly there were children that had had some sort of injuries in the home. Also, children were referred from the Arizona Department of Health Services lead poisoning prevention program and from the City of Phoenix Neighborhood Services Department Housing Rehab Section. Overall, interventions were conducted in 120 homes through the course of the grant. The analysis that I present here today is based on 67 homes where there were complete data. I'll get into what that means. In the 67 homes that were in the analysis data set, there were 184 children. 63 of these children had asthma. 45 of the 63 had been diagnosed with asthma before the study, and 18 had asthma identified as part of the screening process for this study. And all the children, all these 63 children, were treated through the Phoenix Breathmobile. There were three home visits, first at baseline. Baseline, a brief questionnaire was administered, had questions about demographics and other basic items like that. And there was a visual assessment of the home, and the visual assessment included 29 injury hazards and 7 respiratory health hazards. And I'll get into those details in a moment. The second visit was the intervention, which often took actually a number of visits because the education visits were at different times than the housing interventions. And then the third visit was 3 to 4 months post-intervention, when a visual assessment was conducted and a brief questionnaire was administered. The types of hazard considered, there were basically three. One were structural safety hazards, like a leaky roof. The second was non-structural safety hazards, like no fire alarm. And the third was respiratory health hazards, like mold or musty smell. And a lot of times there's kind of overlap between these hazards because, for instance, a leaky roof could lead to mold in the house. So these aren't disjoint types of hazards. The objective of the intervention was to provide parents with the knowledge, skills, motivation, supplies, equipment, and minimum housing quality conditions to maintain a healthy and safe home. And like I mentioned before, there were three components of the intervention to consider. There was the education component, the device disbursement, and the housing interventions. So I'll just hit some of the highlights of the three intervention components. First of all, the education intervention. It started with an in-home family needs assessment, and then the education itself emphasized understanding of why the method was important, and in modeling behavior to induce the change. And at the conclusion of the education interventions, the caretakers were always asked to do the mitigation activities, and when they received pointers on how to do things better, and the educator encouraged them and gave them feedback. So just to mention a few of the components of the education intervention, just things like developing a fire escape plan, securing window blind cords, controlling dust, mold, and other allergens and irritants, promoting smoking cessation, changing air handler filters, and a lot of other similar activities like been conducted in a number of other studies. The device disbursement component included things like mattress and pillow dust mite covers, first aid kits, vacuum cleaners with HEPA filters, carbon monoxide alarms, batteries, curtains, non-skid materials for rugs, and if needed, baits for pest control, and professional pest control company provision was implemented. And education and demonstration always accompanied device disbursement. The third component is the housing interventions. These were things that were a little bit more serious structural issues with the housing. One of the things they did, particularly in the homes of asthmatic children, was to remove carpets and replace them with cleanable flooring. There are also quite a bit of structural repairs of floors, stairs, and railings. Fixing windows that were boarded up or non-functional or with other problems, installing exhaust fans, and providing heating or cooling equipment, and even a few cases of fences for pool spas or ponds. So in this study, we basically have the injury prevention interventions and the respiratory health interventions. And the combination of the respiratory health interventions and the services provided by the Breathmobile, and which include assessment, education, and treatment for asthma, provided a comprehensive approach for these children with asthma. Statistical methods. I'm going to list what the actual individual hazards are coming up next. So we did several statistical tests on the hazards. The first test was for each individual hazard was that the percent of homes with a hazard decreased from baseline to post-intervention. The second test was that more than half of the homes with a hazard at baseline improved at post-intervention. So we looked at this two ways to make sure that we caught what was really going on. Because, for instance, if you look at something like a fire detector, a smoke alarm, and the same number of houses had a hazard at baseline and at follow-up, well, they could be the same percentage of hazards at the two times, but there could be different homes that had the hazards those times because, say, batteries have a certain life. So we basically looked at the two tests to try to make sure to catch what was going on. And then the second statistical methods that we looked at were summary tests to look at the total number of hazards and to see if it declined from baseline to post-intervention. So we have a lot of hazards here, 36 hazards, so we don't have too much time to look at the individuals. In fact, look at my watch, we have very little time. So the first type is structural injury hazards, and these were treated pretty seriously. This was one of the main objectives because it felt like if there's a leaking roof, then it was a serious problem and it really needed to be remedied. And the structural injury hazards, we see that the prevalence range from about 10% to 61%. The second column has the number of hazards at visit 2 over visit 1. And the third column has the percent improved. So if we look down this column, pretty much all the homes with these hazards were treated, and the treatments were effective at the 3 to 4 months follow-up. Then the non-structural injury hazards are split into three groups because there's an awful lot of them. So they're split according to prevalence. So the first one is the high prevalence non-structural injury hazards with prevalence ranging from 57 to 99%. Most of these were improved except for some of the things that are kind of hard to do anything about, like sharp objects improperly stored. Awful difficult to help. Then the medium prevalence, again, most of these hazards were significantly improved. And then the low prevalence hazards, not as much statistical significance.